Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name, Lord. We thank you that you're eternal and you're good. We thank you that you must keep your promises. And we thank you for your many promises. Lord, help us to focus on you this morning. And we want to remember that you told us, "This do in remembrance of me." And so as we come to the table this morning, Lord, and we remember your broken body, remember your shed blood, remember the price that you paid for every single one of your children, Lord, and having paid that price for the believing body of Christ, there's no way that you would ever lose us. There's no way that you will ever forsake us. Forgive us, Lord, for getting our minds on everything else but you at times and looking everywhere else but you. Help us to focus on you, Lord. Lead us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, what we're going to do this morning, we're first going to sing this old hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Then I'm going to ask you to read together, if you have your notes, 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 31. And I'm going to ask you to stand this morning while we sing and while we read the Word of God. And then I will, suggest you sit down and we'll distribute the elements and we'll share communion together, okay? "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride." Oh, what a beautiful words those are. Let's sing along. Now, if you would refer to your notes for 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 23, the Apostle Paul's giving of the institution of the Lord's Supper Let us read this together, verse 23 on down through verse 31. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So you may be seated. We'll distribute the elements. While I'm distributing the elements, I suggest we pray and make sure we're ready to come to the table and make sure if there's any issues out there that we haven't asked for forgiveness, we do that and just get ready to be obedient to what he said, this do in remembrance of me. So let's, if you haven't already done it, let's remove the top little thin thing and get to that wafer, which is obviously not his body, but it stands for his body. And he said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So as our Lord was reminding us, do this in remembrance of me. And we want to do this. And what is the do this in verse 24? It's take, eat. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Now, as he gave them a piece of bread, it wasn't actually his body. He didn't tear off his arm and give it to them and say, eat it. He gave them bread. But spiritually, this is standing for his body. And he has also said in John 6, if we want any part of him, we have to eat his body and drink his blood. And that, again, he wasn't talking about being a cannibal. He was talking about, spiritually speaking, how do you get something really inside every cell of your body? You put it in your circulatory system, and it goes through every cell in your body. So the picture here is when we eat this bread, it goes into our circulatory system to every cell in the body. And we have Christ in us, right? It's Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you. And this is symbolically then getting Christ in us because we take it in and we put it in our circulatory system, all becoming one with Christ and really becoming one with one another in a sense because we're all eating the same thing. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you for the miraculous sacrifice of your Son, fully God, to forgive sin, fully man, to undo what Adam had done by giving his body, Lord. Flesh trembles when we think of the scourging, when we think of the piercing and the thorns crowned, the thorns driven into his head and oh, Lord, for my sin, for each of our sins, how can we then so easily sin when we know what you did? But as we eat this, may we remember, as you have said, do this in remembrance of me. So may we eat together in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. Let us eat together. And then peeling on back the lower one and exposing the juice, we come to the second part of the scripture here, which says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. For you and I, those words do not have the same meaning they had for a Jewish person. A Jewish person had been looking for the new covenant for over 1,500 years when Christ came. And the new covenant they thought would be military power. They thought they would be delivered from Rome. And he holds up a cup of wine, saying, this is a new covenant. How shocked they must have been. With that, we can't overturn Rome with that. We can't take over an army with that. But this is the new covenant in my blood. The what? The forgiveness of sin. Now, we take forgiveness of sin, really, I think, pretty much for granted, right? Because, as we know, during our lifetime, as far back as we could think about, like 2,000 years, sins have been forgiven by what Jesus did. But up until that point, there was no way of forgiving sin. There was no way of clearing guilt. You could cover it with the blood of bulls and goats for a time, but you couldn't take it away. And when John the Baptist, you know, introduced Jesus, he said, the Lamb of God who comes to what? To take away the sin of the world. Awesome, awesome thing to take away your guilt. The guilt is what will destroy you. Even though today we're being told you shouldn't experience guilt because that's not right and whatever you've done is not wrong and so don't have any guilt, you're still going to have guilt. But this takes away the guilt by paying the price for us. And so here we see one more time, this is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, again, in remembrance of me. So let's thankfully take the cup. And this is what saves us. It's his blood. The blood which was paid, the blood which was used as substitution to pay for your sin and for mine. So Lord, we thank you. And as we hold this cup in our hand, we're responding to your command, which says, as often as you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. Let us thankfully, gratefully, and purposefully drink the cup now together. Let us drink. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to come to the table together. We thank you that our sins are forgiven, that all sin's price has been paid by you, by your Son. And so, Lord, may we not forget that, but may we remember what you have done, thankfully and gratefully, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're continuing, sir, Psalms, and we're in the Hallelujah Psalms. If you haven't gathered in, what is Hallelujah? Praise the Lord. We're in the Praise the Lord Psalms. We've got some long Psalms here. Basically, they're around 40, 50 verses, these few, but we're continuing the Hallelujahs. Psalm 104 ends with Hallelujah, praise the Lord. This Psalm ends with Hallelujah, praise the Lord. The next Psalm ends with Hallelujah, praise the Lord. You think there's a pattern here? So we're going to end today with Raise a Hallelujah. We're going to sing that song, kind of a contemporary song. But we want to look at these 105th Psalm today and look at all 45 verses of it. Short Psalms are great for group discussion. Long Psalms are also very important, and you need to spend some time on long Psalms yourself, at maybe taking lots of time rather than just reading through it. But we're going to read through it. We have about 9 commands in these first 5 verses. So when you say, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do, I have no idea what the Lord wants me to do, well, go to Psalm 105, and the first thing is what? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Secondly, call upon his name. Just think of that. Give thanks to him. Kara, call. Call upon his name. And then thirdly, make known his deeds among the peoples. Did you do that yesterday? Did you do all three of those yesterday? This last week, this last month, is that your habit to give thanks, to call upon his name, and to make known his deeds among the people? That's why we're still alive. That's why we're still here, to do those very things. Verse 2, sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Are you doing that? Talk of all his wondrous works. Now, all of us, or at least some of us, don't have any trouble talking, but what do we talk about? If you listen to the world, it talks all the time and never says anything. But we're to talk of his wondrous works. Are you bragging about the Lord? Everybody sees nature every day. You can always tell them something about his wondrous works concerning creation, right? Glory in his holy name. And then notice this, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Do you rejoice? Well, let's start the last part. Do you seek the Lord? If you're his, you do. And if you're seeking him, God says, let your heart rejoice. Again, we kind of come across this quite often, don't we? And I think it's because we Christians need to be reminded that we're supposed to be rejoicing. Oh, I can't believe Washington, D.C. And I can't believe, oh, life is so hard and life is so tough. We're to rejoice. That's the theme of the world, down and out, but not us. Let the hearts, the heart means your innermost being. Let your innermost being rejoice and then seek the Lord. Seek his strength. Seek his face. Forevermore. Well, we can stop here. That's enough, isn't it? Can you remember to do all those?
We're done.
Actually, on verse 2, I end it because that's... And we have another one in verse 5. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Awesome, isn't it? Verse 6, O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones. That includes us. We're his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. This is amazing. Five words here, the next verse. He remembers his covenant forever. An eternal God, remembering his promises to us forever. Does he promise to leave us nor forsake us? Yes, he has. The world which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, I give to you the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When there were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones. Are you one of his anointed ones? Absolutely. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Here we're told they hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Didn't look good at that point, did it? Joseph must have certainly been tempted to think that God had totally forsaken him. But what man meant for bad, God meant for good. He was going to raise him up in one day, as we'll see here. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions. to bind his princes in his at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. So Joseph, among other things, was teaching his elders wisdom. Israel also came into Egypt, meaning Jacob. Jacob also came into Egypt, and you know, God changed his name to Israel. When things are going well, he's called Israel. When they're not going so well, he calls back Jacob again. But here it's Israel, so this is good. Israel came also into Egypt, and then it goes back. Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham. Ham is the land of Africa. That is his father Jacob with the sons, the family, and Noah, who populated the African continent, is the continent of Ham. He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. So in 400 years, they went from 70-plus people to probably 1.5 million. Great growth rate in the midst of slavery and intense persecution. When God says you're going to multiply, you're going to multiply. Verse 25, he turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants, thinking of the Egyptians. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word. The word "not" there is not in all the translations. So if it's they did rebel against his word, we can think of the Egyptians. If they did not, we can think of Moses and Aaron. But in either case, there are those who it applies to. Verse 29, he turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. The land abounded with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. I always kind of get a kick out of that. Here's a king-sized bed, right? And the guy gets in the king-sized bed and it's full of frogs. Even having all these slaves and everything else, he's still got frogs. Verse 31, he spoke and there came swarms of flies and lice, or possibly gnats, in all their territory. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He struck their vines also and their fig trees. Now for years, skeptics of the scriptures says, well, everybody knows there's no grapes in Egypt. Well, the Egyptians didn't know that, because looking at some of the old relics, papyrus and other things, they found descriptions of grapevines. So forget it, skeptics. There were vines in Egypt. He spoke and locusts came, young locusts without number. Verse 35 of Psalm 105, and ate up all the vegetation in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He also destroyed the firstborn in their land, the first of all their strength. He also brought them out with silver and gold. Amazing, isn't it? People wanted them out of there, so they got paid for that 400 years of slavery, really, in a way. And then notice this last part of verse 37. And there were none feeble among his tribes. Think of that. 2 million people, plus or minus. No feeble ones. Now, everybody over 20 is going to die in the 40-year period, except Joshua and Caleb. But there was none feeble at that point. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering. Isn't that great to keep you out of the heat? If I could just find some shade in this desert, it wouldn't be so bad. Got the parasol there. And a fire to give light in the night. Who needs electricity? He sent the cloud by day. Every day was a cloudy day. The cloud covered the camp of Israel, and they lived in the shade. We want meat, the people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. The manna fell every morning on the camp. Such a miracle. Enough food for 2 million people every day. Every day it was available on Fridays, double portion. Because another miracle on Friday, double portion, and another miracle on Saturday, no bread on Saturday. Shabbat. Every week for 40 years. Amazing, huh? He opened the rock and water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham, his servant. So when they came to the land, Abraham had been given that promise over 400 years earlier. God had not forgotten his promise. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. He gave them the land of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations. That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord. When you see praise the Lord in Hebrew, it's hallelujah. So we'll close a little later after we pray with I raise a hallelujah, because we're going to raise a hallelujah before we leave today, because this is another psalm that ends there. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for all parts of it. We thank you we could come to the table today, Lord, and we thank you that we can sing and we can praise you. And we thank you we can read your precious word, and we thank you for the invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace to pray. So, Lord, for those things you put on our heart, Holy Spirit, may we bring forth now in prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for meeting us here once again this morning, and as we have run into the end of the hour, we thank you for these hallelujah psalms, 104, 105, 106, all ending in hallelujah. And so, Lord, we just want to close by singing this contemporary song, Raise Hallelujah.
Praise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
I raise a hallelujah. Fear you lost your
Father, we do thank you that you exhort us to sing. You exhort us to raise hallelujahs. Praise be to God. And so, Lord, help us. Help us. Guide each one here, Lord. And may we just be honoring you and giving you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of little things. One, YouTube is removing these videos from some of these doctors. So this morning, these two videos still work that I have shown on page 4. And of course, it's a medical view that you don't get from the government or the control of disease control. In fact, you get the opposite from the government. But I think it's important to know what you can know. Secondly, I'd like for you to pray for me. I have a close friend we've been praying for this man many years. As far as I know, he doesn't know the Lord yet. And I'm praying for the Lord to open his heart. You know, we read in Acts 16 that the gospel was preached and the Lord opened Lydia's heart and she believed. So without opening the heart, it's not going to work. But I pray for a meeting with him, that the Lord would open that door, and that the Lord would open his heart. Father, for all of the ones in here, we all have those around us that need you so desperately, Lord. And open those doors for us to help. We can't save anybody, but we can tell of your wondrous works, and we can tell of your great love for them and for each of your potential people and for each of your people. So guide and strengthen each one in Jesus' name. Thank you for the faithfulness that's shown here again this week. We ask in your name. Amen.